You remember the Apostle John as the last living apostle. You'll remember that everything has turned, actually 67 AD. Everything's changing. And the easiness of starting in Acts chapter 2 has disappeared. A lot of persecution, heartache, headache, etc. And John is the last one. He's going to give us a summation, an overview of the Old, the New Testament. He's saying, what's it all about? It's all about God. God communicating to his creation. And so the Gospel of John, etc., and thereafter, with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. Here's the Gospel of John, and John's assignment is to present the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ of God, to present him clearly. So from Genesis all the way to Revelation, he is the one. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So, God, here we are. And so in order to latch on to this, remember in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And the Word, God the Son, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And God manifested himself in all kinds of ways historically. But now he does so in the fullest and most marvelous, wondrous way. He presents himself. He created us persons. He is the person. And he created us persons. And so in order for us to understand the invisible, infinite God, in whose presence we are presently sitting, in order to understand him, God put on a human house like we have. And God did that for specific reason, so that we could be able to understand his magnificent person. And through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the door, the way, the truth, the life, and I can go right to him based on Calvary's cross, and I can go right to him and find God. Find God. Now, with that in mind, we're in the presence of God. Over to John chapter 4. In our study of the Gospel of John, you would recall as we went to verse 34, chapter 4. I'll read it. We went there last week. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And we went through that particular section. Now, in order to capitalize on that, so he says, my meat, my food, the word to eat, to consume, eat food. My food, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. So, the disciples, remember, came back from town. They came back from the village. Village is about, actually, 0.6 miles away, not far away. Little less than half a mile. Half a mile from the well where they're sitting. He's sitting with a woman. And the disciples are there. And they came back and wanted to know why he didn't take food. They went to get lunch, and he didn't eat any. Verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And they wanted to know, someone must have come and given him something to eat. Not that they would, that they did. Someone must have come and given him something to eat because he refuses to eat what we just brought to him. And his answer, remember, was in verse 34. For their education, they didn't understand it, we shared last time, but he told many things they didn't understand, and then if he didn't help them, they would never understand. So he helped them, but he said it first, thus, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now, in order for us to gain that, to get that, I thought it might be a good exercise. I'm interested. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 34, is perfectly satisfied. He is sufficient. He is sustained for success. He needs nothing except God's will and to finish God's work. Now, to be satisfied, and no food, you see, certainly hungry, certainly thirsty, the heat of the day, but he isn't. So my question is, I would like to know personally, and God does, that's why he said it, how to get a handle on that for myself. So I'm going to try to take you inch by inch to think about it, to get it, if you want to. You're going to have to do a little work, but I want you to think it through. Step, like building the wall, brick, 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 brick. In the word, chapter 4, verse 34, my meat, my food, eating, to consume, to absorb, to assimilate. That's what you do with food. You put it in your mouth. It goes down through your esophagus, into your stomach, into your small intestines, etc. And it is assimilated and absorbed and assimilated into your system. And all the rest is waste. Everything that is usable or going to be used is taken out into your system. You made it. You made the tomato sandwich or whatever it is part of your being. His food to be assimilated into his being is the will of God, to do the will of God. Now, having said that, and to finish his work. Now, in chapter, and so, God, John, when you're writing, and the Spirit of God is John's, the Apostle John is God's penman, like a pen, and John is writing. And, John, you are going to go and help us understand the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you're going to help us understand each thing as God wrote it. He then helps you word after word, chapter after chapter, to help you understand what he said and why he said it. So now, having said that, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The word sent is used 33 times in this verb is used 33 times in the Gospel of John. Now, the word sent means to send, to cause to come forth. Jesus said, my meat, my food that I assimilate into my system is to do the will of him that sent me. God sent his Son. God the Father sent the Son. That's important. In his perfect humanity, he's going to show forth, where did you come from? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Where did you come from? From God. And that's what it's going to be all about, to help you understand, so there's no question. He came from God. He is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in his wonderful person. He's perfect humanity and perfect deity in oneness. Now, over if you would, just to see it. He's going to keep explaining it to you, so you don't have to guess. You'll get it real clear with the little bit we do. Chapter 5 of the Gospel of John. Chapter 5, and in verse 23. We shared it last time, this one. Five and 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. The Father sent the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to do the will of the Father that sent him. So, hang on. Now, the will. The Son of God is going to bring forth the wonderful person of God. If you leave him out, you will not get to God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father, except by me. You can't get there. I'm the door. Now, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, believeth on him. Who's him? The Father. The Father sent me. You need to believe. The Father sent me. Where did you come from? The Father sent me. Hath everlasting life, the person that believes, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. God's wonderful, wonderful provision to believe on him and that God hath sent. To believe on God the Father that sent his Son. God the Son in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ yielded, so yielded, to allow God to exercise his wonderful person, his wonderful purpose, very active. You see the word in John, well, back over in John, you know, you're right next door, chapter 4, verse 34. My meat is to do the will, and the word will, W-I-L-L, is an active volition. You make decisions. Purposely, with purpose. You make decisions with purpose. Active volition. Thus, if you would, over in John chapter 5 and verse 30. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of mine own self, in my perfect humanity, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will. I'm not trying to show anything I think. I'm trying to tell you what God thinks. My own will. But the will of the Father which hath sent me. The Father sent me to show his will. You want to know God? You want to know what God is thinking? That's what humans, the Creator, the creation is to show the Creator. Now, so in the process, chapter 6, and if I may, in verse 38, you remember, if I may, for I came down from heaven, not, N-O-T, not to do my own will, but the will of him, the Father, that sent me. I came to reflect God incarnate. I came to show God, wonderful God, the person of God, in a wonderful way. In verse 39, this is the Father's will which hath sent me. Verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me. So there's no question. God the Father sent the Son. That's the whole message. God in the flesh. Now, over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. And you will note, speaking of the Father's preparation for a body, flesh and blood, the Word became flesh, John 1:14. And in Hebrews chapter 10, may I pick up in verse 7. Lo, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. What is it written about? To do thy will, O God. To do thy will. Verse 8. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. In other words, the Mosaic law, etc., he answered that and went into a relationship based on the saving grace of God. Verse 10, by which will, God's will, we are sanctified and set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are sanctified by the will of the Father. We believe on the God, the Father sent the Son. We believe it. And that will, the will of the Father, is to set us apart for him, for himself, that as the Lord is set apart, so we are able to be set apart for the purposeful, wonderful arrangement of why we were born, why we are here, and where we're going. Now, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, over to John chapter 7, the Gospel of John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, you would recall, picking up, please, going directly, if I can, in the light of the context, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, the word doctrine is the word to teach, teaching. My doctrine, teaching, is not mine, but his that sent me. My doctrine is not of my own invention, if you want to take the Greek gift. My doctrine is not of mine. It isn't nothing to do with me. All the teaching that I'm doing is not of my own doing. It is not, I didn't invent it. I didn't dream it up. I represent God's teaching. Verse 17. If, and they may or may not, if any man will do his will. You want to know God's will. If any man will do his will, the Father's will, if any man will do his Father's will, my Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine and the teaching, whether it be of God, is God the source of it? Or I speak of myself, am I the source of it? You're going to know. If you want to know God's will, God is going to say what he says, and I'm telling you the same thing he's going to say. He's saying what he meant to say. I am echoing, communicating what God has to say. If you want to know, is it, listen to God, and he'll find you. What I'm saying is from God. God is going to set apart, verify, sanctify all that I'm saying by works. By my works, you're going to know. It's from God. You don't have to guess. If you really want to know God, then here we are, God. Help me. I need to understand and know you, God, and I'm going to have to go where? The only book in all the world is your word. Your word. No other religious book all over the world. Just your word. Your word is the only one that says over and over and over thousands of times, the Lord said, the Lord said, all that God, everyone, over and over again, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Wow. So I don't have to think about a book. I have the book. And God, here you are. Help me to know you by way of the book. Now, so if you want to know the will of God and know it's of God, then here is God to help you know it. You don't have to guess. How do you know the truth? What is the truth? Who knows the truth? Where is the truth? Which? We got to get to God. God. There's only one God, so you don't have to worry about it. Only one God. So when you say God, here he is. Only one there is. So now, God, I want to get it straight. Over, if you would, in the light of that. So God, we're going to pay attention. We're going to hear and heed what you have to, who you are and what you have to say. The source of instruction is you. You're giving us your word through your will, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to go and make it clear that you are the uncaused cause of everything. You are the Creator. So we're going to understand so that we can come to grips with who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it. Now, in the process of that, God, now, so that's what you said. Now I want to know, God, how can I get a handle on this? You did this. You did this so that I could know your will. If I want to know your will, I can look to your word and you'll confirm it so that I can understand and enjoy your will just like you did. To be fully satisfied, wonderfully, wonderfully supplied, wonderfully sufficient, quite adequate, totally content. Wow. Haven't you ever eaten? You've eaten, not a Thanksgiving, get too full, but you eat something, and you eat food, and you're finished eating, and you're content. You say, I'm content. My stomach's content. I feel content. I'm full. Full. God, do it to my heart, our heart. Colossians chapter 1. Does God want that? That's my question. What you have, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me. So now I'm going to look, and I want to know if I can get involved. I want to know if that's for me. That's what I want to know. I don't want to walk out of here. I want to know, can I have that kind of supply, that kind of sufficiency, that kind of satisfaction, no matter what I get, pizza or no pizza? Wow. Colossians 1, if I can, in verse 9. The prayer. God says it all over. I'm just going to give you some of it to just lock it in. The prayer. Who, for this cause, 1:9 Colossians, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, what is that? That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the prayer, God, you want me to be full of that knowledge of your will, God's wonderful purpose of why we're even alive. Wow. Over to Ephesians, next door, or two, Ephesians chapter 5. So we know God wants it. God tells us, he wants us to be full of the knowledge of his will, so there's no question about that. What else do we know? Well, chapter 5, God will say again, putting the pieces together, chapter 5 and in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil, buying up the opportunities. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding. Understanding what? What the will of the Lord is. So we aren't supposed to be stupid about it. We're supposed to know it. God's will. That's what we want. We pray. We should know. God wants us to have it. And we ought to know it. With understanding. We ought to have an understanding of it. God's will. Over, if you would, to chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. And again, talking about service, employee, employer, relationships and all of that, children, family. Verse 6, I'll have to read verse 5 for a little better context. 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servant, the word servant is the word slave, as servants of Christ, and as servants of Christ, what are we doing? We're serving, doing the will of God from the heart. So we're going to exercise God's will. And if we exercise God, there must be prayer, and we're to have understanding, and we're to exercise this relationship. That what God, what you're after, what you're after, your volition, all that you want for us. You created us with great purpose, great wonderment. And you want that for us. Yes, I do. All right. Over, if you would please, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And you would remember, God, how are we going to get it? Well, we're going to have a relationship that works. And in the light of the 11 chapters of Romans, we come to chapter 12. I beseech you, verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, not a dead, but a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's very logical, the right thing to do. It's obvious that God created you, then the Creator should be able to use and exercise his creation. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world tell you what to do. Let God, you represent God in a world that doesn't want God, but you represent him. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by how? By the renewing of your mind, your thinking. Think God's thoughts. Follow God's, like you did in 6 o'clock, follow God's recipes. Follow them. And they work. God's right there. By the renewing of your mind. Why are we going to follow the recipes? That you may prove and put to the test what is that good and acceptable, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. So we want to know the will of God with understanding. We ought to exercise it, and we ought to benefit from it. And thus, we're to know it by having our mind and heart lined up with what God has said. So that's why I'm reading, that's why we're reading, that's why we're looking at it. So we know, what do you want from us, God? What is expected of us? And to what, how do we latch on to this? Over, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to have to think it, understand it. 1 John chapter 5. If I may, verse 14. We're going to rely upon God and his word, looking to God. And in 1 John chapter 5, adding to it, and you'll remember in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this, verse 14, is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we're supposed to know it, looking for it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. So God, here we are looking. And verse 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we share it 1,000 times. You get out of bed, you want God's will for the day, and you don't know what it is, you have your routine, you have your agenda, and you go do it, and you're trusting God to use work, home, school, play, health, wealth, coming and going. You're trusting God to move in and about and through and use you in a wonderful way as you learn, as you do your work, as you do your housework, as you do all the responsibilities you have, and you're looking to God to represent him in a most wonderful way. And God has a wonderful plan that whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, and honor me. So God, you have a wonderful plan, wonderful purpose, a wonderful relationship that I'm supposed to exercise. And in that relationship, I don't have to wonder, God, whether I did it right or wrong so much. I need to know that I'm trusting you in the outworking of it. So that, God, you're going to have to help me through this. Your will. God, I want your will at work, home, school, play, whatever it is. Now, verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What did you want to know? You wanted God's will. And God said, whatever you do, eat or drink, whatever you do, trust me and go do your work, go do your job, go do what you have to do and trust me. And I'm right there. And I'm looking to you, God, to make all that we do, that have to do, that just being alive on planet Earth, then you're going to be there, God, and I want you to be honored. I'm trusting you to outwork. I can't help what people say, what people do, how things happen, I don't know. I know only the little bit that I understand that I can do. And I have to trust you for all the rest of it. God, to give me the right words, the ability to do my test at school, to do my homework, to take care of the children, to handle the medicine, whatever it is. God, I have to trust you. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 10 of Hebrews again. Hebrews in chapter 10. And you would recall, you want God's will, and you haven't got it yet. You're working through it, but you want it. You're looking for it. You're looking for God to be honored as you do whatever you do to for his glory and honor. And so here in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 36, for you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise, that you might receive the promise after you've done the will of God. Remember verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. If you're going to be faithful, fruitful, you're waiting on God, looking for God, then you're just going to do everything as unto the Lord, work, home, school, play, whatever you're doing. Do it as unto the Lord, and as you do it, as you're going to do that, verse 37, and yet a little while, and that he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. And by the way, verse 38, but just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The believing heart isn't going to draw back. He's trusting God. You're trusting God. You're trusting God to work it out. I don't know how it's going to work out. At any given moment, I do everything we should, best common sense you can. But hey, God, you have all the pieces. I don't have them, so I'm going to trust you to outwork your good will. And I already have that because that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm counting on. My will, I choose your will, God. And so I'm going to trust you, and you're going to do it. So I'm going to work through it, and God, you're going to make all the thing work out. The process produces a product, as we shared in Sunday school. It's all going to work out. Now, God, here I am, going down the corridor of time, looking for you. My meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. And hang on, over if you would, please, so that where do you start? Where would you start in all this? Over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where would you start as a believer? If you know the Lord as your Savior, where are you going to start? Well, what do we know? God, what is your will? Chapter 1 Thessalonians 5, and going, if I may, directly to verse 16. It's a command in the present tense. That means it's continuous. You keep on doing it. Rejoice evermore. That's my will. I want you to be delighted because I am delighted. And the world and sorrow, heartache, headache, all over the place. But God doesn't have that. God is delighted in who he is. I didn't ask you for your joy. I asked you to enjoy my joy. I asked you to enjoy my delight in how I'm working and outworking. That's what I asked you to do. Rejoice in the Lord always again. Evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop exercising God's wonderful presence. And verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then you have the two words that may be yours. They may be yours concerning you. And if that's you, then you read it again. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. To what? Give thanks. In everything. In everything. Not everything isn't good. Everything isn't nice. Everything isn't easy. But from God's perspective, there's nothing that's not going to work out, and nothing that he isn't going to see happen for his honor and for his glory. So you're going to look to God, look to God? With thanksgiving. So I want to start with the will of God. I'm going to say thank you. Thank you, God, for understanding me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you very, very much. I'm going to start there. I'm going to start there. And the will of God. The will of God. That is the will of God, and that's what I want. So in all things, in everything, no matter what, I'm going to say thank you. Car accident, thank you. The plane crashes, thank you. The other day when I was coming in, the plane went down, you know, in the foggy clouds way down low. And I look out the window right next to it, and the clouds look at the clouds like this, you know. And then I saw ground. I saw ground. I said, what's the ground doing? And then the ground disappeared. And we were 50 feet off the ground. And the plane, there was another plane coming in. So we had to go up. Whew, up in the air again. In the clouds. In the clouds, you see. All I could do was look out the window. And the people, and when we landed, of course, the guy came. He did land, you realize. He did land. And here we are. And in the process, they all clapped in the plane. They all clapped for the pilot who got us in. Wow. I what do I know? I don't have the plan. I can only trust God in it. That's all I do. I look to God, whatever you're doing, God, I only see a little bit. I only understand a little bit. How it's going to work out, God, I don't know. But you do. So we're going to trust God. And for your will, for your good will, for your good working. Thank you, God. Thank you. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to answer anything. I don't understand it. But I can say, thank you. Thank you for your will. Thank you. Tomorrow morning at work, thank you. Tomorrow morning at school, thank you. Start off. That's how you start off. That's the starting point. It's easy to do if you want to do it. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, all over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And if I can, in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The will of him that sent me. God sent his son. God sent his son. Now, over to get that thought. Over, if you would, please. And he sent his son in a most wonderful way. And verse 34. And to finish, to complete, to bring to a conclusion, to bring to the goal line, to bring to the goal line his work. God, what was the purpose of what I did? Well, to finish it. All right. Over, if you would, please, in the light of that, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. And you will note the Lord in the upper room before he goes out to the crucifixion says this, chapter 17, in his prayer, perfect humanity looking to God. Chapter 17, in going over to verse 3. This is eternal life, life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Sent. That is very important. Sent. Do you understand? You're sent. You represent somebody else. God sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished. There's your word. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have finished it. Finished it. I brought it to completion, to the goal line, the objective, the whole purpose of it. I have finished the work, brought it to completion. There's nothing more is needs to be added. It is perfect, perfect. I have finished the work. Wonderfully so. Over, if you would please, now, in the light of that, John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And in John chapter 19, picking up, please, if I can, remember he's on the cross, Verse 28, chapter 19 of John. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that's the verb to finish, to bring to completion, to finish so there's nothing lacking, all things were accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, and there's the same verb again, fulfilled, brought to completion, saith, I thirst. Verse 30, skipping down. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. I must finish the work. It is finished. He finished the work. And he bowed his head and gave up his ghost. He finished, brought to completion, finished it. There's nothing lacking, nothing more needed. It is finished, wonderfully finished. And if it's finished, then there's nothing more to do. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are only representing and showing his finished work. We aren't doing anything. It's all done. All finished. John 17. And in verse 18, John 17 and 18, you know. In John 17, please, verse 18, as thou hast sent me, there's a different verb, but as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I sent them. My Father sent me to show him. I send them to show me. Because you see, to see the Lord Jesus Christ is to see the one, to see the Father. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ is to show the Father. So when we reflect and operate and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to show what? The Lord Jesus Christ. What does the whole Word of God say? The Father sent the Son to show God, to know God, to understand God, to believe in God, to rest in God. Verse 21. That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that, remember verse 21, that they, purpose, they, also may be have a unique oneness in us, Father and Son, the purpose that the world all around us may what? Believe what? That thou hast sent me. Not sent them. Sent me. You show me. You show me to the world that the Father hath sent me. That's what you're doing. Not about you and not about me. It's about him. To believe. They need to believe that Christ sent his Son. God sent his Son in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe. And that's what God did for us. So we don't have to guess at it. There's no fooling around. It's straight, clear cut. God, your word, what you did on Calvary's cross, unquestioned, rising again from the grave, unrefutable. No, can't touch it. Wow. And then we come to verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, full, in one, in this oneness. And this oneness, this wonderful completeness, finished. It isn't something I have to do. It's something that is. It just is. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world all around us may know what? That thou hast sent me. The Father has sent the Son and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. And so, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're loved. And we're loved. And the Son of God, God sent his love to us in his Son. And we represent his Son. His Son represents the Father. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So you have a wonderful, finished relationship. So it isn't something we're working, having to do. It's something that's done. The will of God and the work of God to feed. We're already there. We're already able, and we should be, of all things, satisfied. Is that satisfied that God did that? It's finished. Now, what would you like to do to worry about and add to it? What would you like to think that doesn't work out down the road? Let's think about it. What should we worry about? What should we think about that could happen? You know, Iran could drop a bomb over here or something. And whatever. Okay. No. Well, we're looking to you, God. So we aren't going to worry about it. We're looking to you. It's finished. So no matter what, who, when, where, how, it's finished. And that's how we're to live. Wonderfully, wonderfully live. And God has given us to rest in the finished work of Christ so that we aren't trying to help God. We're just trying to enjoy God, to allow God to be who he is and to allow that to happen. And it's finished. So I'm going to be satisfied? I am satisfied with that. Some, a lot of believers aren't satisfied. They aren't satisfied at all. No, I don't know what they want out of Christianity. What do they think Christianity is? Whatever they got, it isn't what God has given them. If you had what God had given you, your heart would be wonderfully, wonderfully content, wouldn't it? You'd be filled with wonderment that you were who you are instead of bored, dull. Wow. Wow. God. So satisfied and successful. And no question, I'm fully supplied, fully satisfied. I'm going to look to you, God. So whatever I have, I'm going to learn in whatever state I am to be content. God, I'm going to look to you. Because I know, I already have it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to work at it. I work it out. I work out my own salvation with what? Because, verse 13, it is God which, what? Worketh both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God's will. So I'm going to work the week, the hour, the day. I'm going to work it out and trust God. God, my meat is to do, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, God, all of that comes to us when I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive all of the wonderful wonderment of the Father, all the work and all the works that you did to bring me into the place where I am to be wonderfully, wonderfully saved, satisfied, fully sustained, fully supplied, so that you that hath begun a good work in me will finish it. Why? Because it's already finished. And God, this relation, now I'll close. You know, when you became a child, you became a son, a daughter of parents, true? You did. No. And like it or not, were you not, and are you not, like it or not, are you not the son and the daughter of the parents? Aren't you? You are. You are. Whatever. Doesn't matter. You are. You are going to be that all the way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God does something wonderful for us. He brings us into a unique relationship to himself. And he transfers and transforms us by adoption. He places us as full-grown sons into his family. And so we're able to look to God. And I'm going to be a child of human parents all the days of my life. But that is going to end. I became a child of God, and that is going to last forever. And my relationship to God the Father will never vanish and never disappear. I am to be a son forever. It's finished. I don't have to do a thing to make it happen. I just had to receive him as my Savior, and I became a son forever. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God the little, God help us. It's a wonderful thing you've done to help us to understand that you made a wonderful commitment in your perfect humanity to bring to us the wonderful benefits of your perfect deity. God, thank you. To be able to be saved, to be able to be set apart, to be able to be satisfied, to be able to have it set, not because of us, but because of your saving grace. So God, deal with us that we might exercise your goodwill in a biblical, reasonable, understanding way, that we would be the beneficiaries of being able to outwork all of that which you made possible when you died, was buried, and rose again. God, thank you. So set apart the time that everything, God, honor yourself, that we would certainly be able, whether we eat lunch or we don't, to feed our soul upon your wonderful word. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You might want to turn in your Bible, in your hymn book, if you would, as you sing a stanza. 266. 266.